Dresses, bathing suits, gowns, clothes from the 1940s are on exhibit at the Kennedy Center in Washington. It's part of a 40s festival of music, dance, and drama underway at the Performing Arts Center there. The Fashion Institute of Technology in New York put together the clothing show. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg went to see it.
Pick your adjective. Fashion is frivolous, it's superficial, silly, irrelevant. Nuh-uh. Valerie Steele, head of the museum at the Fashion Institute of Technology, says it's much worse than that.
Fashion is a giant cannibal that eats up everything.
A giant cannibal, gobbling up events, ideas, the passing scene. Valerie Steele says what we wear is always a reflection of what is happening in our world. Fashion is a part of social history. Clothing marks a time, a place. Fashion changes, and it's eternal.
I mean, these skirts are so great, and I'm looking
at the opening of the 40s fashion show, stylish 30-something visitor Sabrina Lemer sees today in a 60-year-old wraparound skirt.
I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I would love that, and I'd throw on a jean jacket and a pair of flats and a great bag, and I'd be gone, or even the bathing suit.
In addition to skirts, dresses, and gowns, military uniforms are part of the 40s fashion show, and Alma Powell, wife of former Secretary of State General Colin Powell, gave the women's uniforms a close inspection. The Navy outfit hasn't changed much since the 40s, she said, but the 1943 women's Army uniform, serious khaki wool jacket and skirt, is long gone.
Their uniforms now are green. Nobody wears a tie anymore. They don't have to look like the men.
This was a big issue during World War II.
It was a big issue in World War II. First of all, what were they going to do? And then what are we going to have them look like? They can't be too attractive. We don't want to cause incidents. And so they should be trim and professional and like the men.
When she was a little girl in Birmingham, Alabama in the 40s, Alma Powell remembers that everybody sewed. And then, to save money and fabric, they re-sewed.
You know, you take something apart and make something else out of it. You would take an adult coat and cut it up and make a child's coat, for example, when there was rationing.
Ellen Shanley, the Fashion Institute of Technology curator of this exhibit, says wartime restrictions on fabric influenced pretty much everything people wore.
There was limits on the number of yardage you could use in a garment, so hence the skirts go shorter.
FIT's Valerie Steele has more examples of the impact of wartime shortages on how Americans dressed.
Same way for menswear, so that men weren't supposed to have big baggy trousers.
And the wide lapels. It's wasting fabric that could be going to help our men and women overseas.
And cuffs were eliminated as well. So, and too many pockets. You know, all those unnecessary items were eliminated.
American clothes were on a wartime diet. But when the Germans occupied Paris, which had been the international center of fashion since the 1600s, the Nazi takeover created a feast of new opportunities for U.S. designers. Again, Ellen Shanley.
Manufacturers weren't going to Paris for their inspiration. It was really an opportunity for the American designers to shine, and that's what they did.
In the war years, Claire McCardle, Norman Norell, Tina Lesser became fashion stars. They created easygoing clothing, casual, leisure wear, sportswear. They helped invent a new, free American look. When World War II ended, social history continued to be written in clothing stores and women's closets. In Paris, in 1947, Christian Dior offered a new look. Full skirts, yards of material, abundance after all the years of deprivation. Although Coco Chanel scoffed, Dior doesn't dress women, he upholsters them. At the Kennedy Center exhibit, visitor Kate Berenson sees more than just couch covers in this clothing.
It's so feminine. It's so ladylike, babe. This is an era when feminine meant ladylike, babe, and I love that. You know, a waist was a waist. Things are nipped in.
Berenson's eye is caught by a 1947 Dior evening dress. celadon green rayon and cotton satin. Tight bodice, full skirt, long sleeves.
One of the remarkable details is that cute little bow at the waist to show off the waist, and then there's cute little bows on the sleeves to show off a pretty wrist. I mean, there are parts of the body that we just don't focus on anymore that are really good.
With these details and Dior's new look, France reasserted its lead as fashion's trendsetter. The new feminine look emerged just as women welcomed back their veterans and quit wartime jobs to stay home and raise families. Styles would change again to reflect that hard-won, joyful period of peace. But that's the subject of some future exhibition. Meantime, in wartime, the worst global war in history, there was room in the 1940s for glamour, for six buttons along a single sleeve, for dressing up and trying to look good. How was that possible then, with the world in such turmoil? Curator Ellen Shanley's answer speaks to those dark wartime days, as well, perhaps, as today.
There's a way to kind of hold on to some kind of normality. You know, even if your son is at war, you want to kind of support, you know, you don't want to break down. It's not going to help the situation. So this is a way of holding on to a normal life of hope.
The exhibition Fabulous Fashions of the 1940s is on view at the Kennedy Center's Terrace Gallery until April 14th. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
You can see some of the clothes in the show by going to npr.org.
At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over. And life is like a song.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
At last, the skies above are blue. My heart was wrapped in clothes.